Everybody. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Sylvia Cranebuhl. I am a member of the Lion of Judah congregation, and it is really a privilege to be able to be here today to release a word. It has been a battle pulling this together. I'm going to preface it with, this is God's word. Not mine. I am simply the vessel that he's asked to release the message to you. And it is an absolute privilege to be here. So thank you very much for your attention. And thank you for your prayers and intercession this morning, because it was interesting getting here. But God is good. God is faithful. And I can't tell you the confirmations he's given me this morning with everything, including me looking up a wrong scripture. But anyway, the name of my message today is The Beatitudes, A Different Perspective. And I'm going to begin with reading Beatitudes, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, depending upon how our time goes. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I'm going to stop there with my verses. When Yeshua spoke these words, he was aware that there was a crowd, but instead he chose to go up the mountain and he sat down. He had something he wanted to tell his Talmudim, his disciples, his followers. Yeshua had separated himself, and having gone up on the mountain, he found a quiet place. He sat down. And back then, when your teacher sat down, you know your teacher had something he wanted to say. And so you were attentive to that, and you sat down as well. The teacher was always among his disciples. And that's why I kind of like this environment, rather than being up on an altar or somewhere else, because I am among you, which puts me no higher and no lower than you. Okay? He sat down. And they knew he had a lesson. And my prayer today is that Teacher Holy Spirit has a lesson for us. And Lord, I ask that you open our eyes and our hearts that we may see wonderful things in your Torah today. Your word today, Lord, I ask that your message, and it is your message, Lord, will take us beyond these walls in our thoughts and contemplation of your word as we listen. Most of all, Lord, I ask that we respond as Holy Spirit leads us into a greater understanding of the Beatitudes from a different perspective. Lord, I lift up this time to you, Holy Spirit. This is you and me. I ask that you give me the words and help me to give the message as it's been given to me. In the name of Yeshua, amen and amen. Thank you. The Greek word translated for blessed is makario. That's makariori. And you will find that in the Greek concordance under the number 3421, which means to be fully satisfied. The word refers to a state of blessedness in the hereafter, but in the New Testament, the term is used of the joy that comes from salvation. This satisfying joy is not the result of favorable circumstances in our lives, but comes from being indwelt by Christ, by Messiah. And therefore, the word blessed denotes far more than happy, which comes from the English word hap, which comes from happenstance, which is connected with luck or favorable circumstances. It has nothing to do with that. The Hebrew word for blessed is ashri, A-S-H-R-E-I. And I found it interesting that when I read the Hebrew translation in English, there is no are or is, and there is no blessed are. Why? Because the Jewish mindset is that these verses are not intended to be read as statements. They are intended to be read as exclamations. Whoop, whoop, I like that. Now, I originally, in my earlier studies and all that, thought that blessed meant deeply contented. Deeply contented is he who's, okay? But it's not what God intends in these exclamations. Ashri really means how happy. Yet, a better way to read these verses is to start each one with, oh, the blessedness of. Oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, the blessedness of those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, the blessedness of the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and so on and so on. And so I looked up the definition of blessedness, and according to the Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, whew, that's a mouthful, okay, blessedness means a condition or state of being in God's grace or favor. I think most of us here understand a state of being in God's grace or favor. Every aspect of a believer's life is embraced by blessedness with absolutely no credit assumed by the person experiencing it. Blessedness is purely God's grace. And blessedness depends upon the fulfillment of the conditions set down in the Beatitudes. But did you ever think that the state of blessedness begins the very moment that a person believes on Yeshua, our Messiah, for salvation? Something to think about. Blessedness is rooted in grace. And our salvation is rooted in grace. So, keeping those two things in mind, I'd like us to take a walk through the Beatitudes. Now, I could grab a walking stick, and I could grab, you know, I have a power bar in my bag, I got a bottle of water. Okay, you got to take some things with you when you go on a walk, you know, because you never know how long you're going to walk, and when you do, you want to have the supplies that you need. So, as we do take this walk today, my hope is that you will see the life process of every believer's walk, and I am really hoping that we will see the importance of watching out for our fellow believers and where they are on that same walk. My hope today is that as we walk, we'll see the process of our own walk as a believer, but also see how much we are all needed on this walk called life. The path will lead us to our end destination, ultimately, which we know is heaven, but the walk we must take now takes and challenges us every day. While we are walking, it's imperative we also are looking and watching, because in this season, we ain't got time to be tripping. Oh, sorry. It was a big ant. Okay. All right, we don't have time to be tripping. We don't have time to be missing the path that God has for us that he wants us to take. It's that important. But we also have to watch our fellow believers in our sphere of influence as well. Not just here, but where we are on any given day. So I want to show you something that is on the PowerPoint, if we're able to bring that up. Yes or no? Okay. For those of you who are taking notes, I learned this the last time from when I was teaching. Okay, for those of you that are on the recording, you want to make three columns on your piece of paper. The first column is going to be entitled Emotion. You can go to the next screen, next slide. Okay, you've got emotion. The second column is the number of letters. And the third column says, but so does. And so as we flip to the next slide, and I apologize, but I'm going to go through them one at a time so I can take care of the time here. But it will stay up on the last slide, so if you want to continue to write, you can, or if you want to pick it up at the end of the class, you can as well. Sad has three letters, but so does joy. Next slide. Fall has four letters, but so does rise. Next slide. Curse has five letters, but so does bless. Next slide. Six. Ignore has six letters, and so does listen. Next slide. Enemy has seven letters, but so does friends. Next slide. Immature has eight letters, but so does maturity. The next slide. Ignorance has nine letters, but so does knowledge. And the last sign, negativity. Negativity has 10 letters, but so does positivity. Today, we each have two realities to choose from. What is your reality today? Could be a little bit of both. Could be one, could be the other. But when I look at this list, that list on the left is the world. When I look at it, there's sadness everywhere. People's lives, or they feel like their lives are falling apart. Essentially, as we've learned over the past few weeks, their lives are in chaos. There's anxiety, there's confusion, there's depression, there's suicides, there's plain hatred, and that's just to name a few. The world curses people, and they're ignoring the warning signs that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Enemies lurk in the dark, ready to attack, concealing their plans, so they think. The world is immature, not thinking. It seems like common sense went out the window somewhere. And people want their way in microwave time, regardless of what the cost is. They're ignorant, lacking knowledge or awareness in general. And negativity is everywhere, breaking down and minimizing our potential, especially in our youth today and our young adults. But we can be encouraged because of the other side of the screen, of the chart, because that's us. That should be us, believers in Yeshua as our Lord and Savior. And today it's very important, the Lord has asked me to remind us that though we are in the world, we are not of the world. We all know that. But more importantly, God is not blind. All right? God sees and knows exactly what's going on out there in the world. He's not surprised by it. He's not moved by it at all. And we shouldn't be either. And why is all this happening? Our Father God tells us why all this is happening in 1 John 3:1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, or acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, God. So if we go back to the Beatitudes, God's heart today, and Peggy presented it very well, is on each and every one of you and our relationship to and for each other in the body of believers. So starting with Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and I'm going to use the new phrase that I said earlier, "Oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Before you were saved, were you not poor in spirit? Were we drowning in our own death, being spiritually dead to the Lord? And so the first step toward blessedness is a realization of our own spiritual helplessness. Before I was saved, I was doing the church thing. I was absolutely doing the church thing. I was going to church because my parents said we had to go to church. But I was also attending youth group. I was teaching Sunday school. I was a good little church girl. Unfortunately, as I got older, I found myself wandering to this thing or to that thing, whatever would make me feel good or a part of something. As the oldest daughter in a family of nine, six other brothers and siblings, okay, sisters and siblings, I was my mother's right arm. And with six siblings, you can bet your dollar that there was always something she needed help with. And as a result, I would help her out. But I always felt like everybody else was doing things and I wasn't. So I ran to whatever allowed me the freedom to play, rather than be bogged down with what I refer to as responsibilities. And somewhere along the line, as I got older, I came to that place where I felt empty, and I started telling myself, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be. And so one evening in the home of my brother and his wife, we talked. And the Jesus I had learned about in church was not the one they were talking about. And so they got my interest. They talked about a Jesus who was approachable. They talked about a Jesus who wasn't critical. They talked about someone who wasn't negative, and he wasn't up there waiting to bring a hammer down on my head every time I did something wrong. And he sounded like somebody that I wanted to get to know. And so I prayed that night, and I asked Yeshua to come into my life. Now, the amazing thing about that is my brother and his wife had only been saved 3 weeks. And they brought me to the Lord. Oh, the blessedness of those who reach the end of their rope. Because I had. And for me, Yeshua showed up just in time. And what was the first thing that happened was my sadness became joy. I had fallen far, but on that day, I turned the corner. Not only was my sadness turned to joy, but I began to rise up. And what did we do after we were all saved? Wow, we read the Bible. Time to get into the Bible. Okay. I didn't understand what it all meant, but I knew I was different, and I knew it was better than anything I'd ever experienced before, and I became less, and he became more, the more I read, and the more I read, and the more I read. Do you know today that there is someone in the body of Messiah who is poor in spirit? There is something bringing a member of my house down. More importantly, in the body of believers, is there someone even maybe here that's poor in spirit and needs to be lifted up? I thank God he allows me to get to the end of my rope. Why? Because God will use that, first of all, to draw me back to him. Secondly, to draw me back to his word. And I know, just like on the day I was saved, he will use that to put someone in my way to get me back on the path that he's got for me. And he's got a path for you. And the Beatitudes is that path. No one in this place, I hate to tell you, is an island. We weren't created that way. We were created for relationship. We were created for relationship. We all need to be lifted up at some point in our lives. And is there something that you can do today? Will you let someone take your sadness and the feeling of falling away from God away and replace it with the joy of the Lord and the word to help you rise up? You see, our goal with the Beatitudes is that first step, joy. No matter where we walk, no matter what we do, no matter where we are, God always will bring us back to joy. And if you're not being drawn back to that, or if you're not opening up your heart to allow God to put those people in your lives who can do that for you, I'm here today to tell you, I ain't letting you go. I'll stick to you like white on rice, because you're that important to me as a member of the body of Messiah. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Someone just came to the Lord, we should be rejoicing. Okay? Someone just worked through a problem, we should be rejoicing. All right? And we rejoice with them. Psalm 5:11, but let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy, because you make a covering over them and defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits. And if there's a scripture verse you need, and I love the way it especially is written in the Amplified Classic, is arise. From the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you, rise to a new life. Rise to a new way of thinking. Rise to a new way of doing things. But rise and shine. Be radiant for the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So I will rise and I will give thanks to God because of who he is. And for the righteous man, according to Proverbs 24:16, will fall. He falls seven times and rises. Whoop. And not only does he rises again. So this is a continuous process. We're going to fall. We're not going to get it right every time. But the important thing is we need to rise. We need to stand back up. We need to get up and moving and stand. And if we need somebody to come up next to us to do that for us and with us, that's what we do as believers in God. Because that's what God is wanting us to do for each other. Chapter 5, verse 4. Oh, the blessedness of those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I'm keeping it simple here, but there are really two types of mourning, okay? There's the natural mourning when we lose a loved one, someone that's important to us. But then there's mourning in our spirit as a result of sin and disobedience. And that's the mourning I'm addressing today. After I was saved, yeah, I was reading the Bible. But then the Holy Spirit started to put some light on the areas in my life in which there was sin and disobedience. And okay, Lord, I got it. All right. And naturally, I began to mourn or grieve over my sins, and my heart became heavy. And the problem was, at that time, I didn't have any idea on how to go about getting free from the condemnation of my sin and disobedience. But God knew how to comfort me. You see, those who mourn are those who sorrow for their sins and the sins of others. Now, we can tap that into the world, but we're talking about us. All right? Psalm 142:7 says, it's basically a cry. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me. Hello? You're going to surround me, okay? For you shall deal bountifully with me. That right there is an encouragement. Because there's no condemnation attached with it. It's simply a brother and a sister coming up alongside of you to pray with you, to be with you, to help you work through. And to come to the other side. Is anyone carrying a burden today? You have brothers and sisters in your midst who will come up alongside you at your request and pray with you and help bring you through. We are all blessed when we acknowledge our sins and the times we were disobedient, and we reach out to God as we ask for forgiveness. But to have a brother or sister who understands our situation, to come up alongside of us in understanding and compassion, once again, God will turn our sadness and our grief into joy. Because there is a freedom when we see what the enemy, where the enemy has held us, the wrongs we've done, how it's been used in our lives against others or whatever, and God knows that we need each other. And so we continue. Oh, but wait a minute. Now I know I'm dealing with my sin and I know I'm dealing with my disobedience, but wait a minute. Somebody over here is sad in their spirit, looking, watching, observing your brothers and sisters. Your discernment will kick in when something isn't right. And I have no doubt that every person in this room will respond. Verse 5, oh, the blessedness of the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek ones are willing to see themselves for who they really are. This inward honesty is evidenced in their, first of all, submission to God and His Word, as well as in their dealings with others. God's agenda in your life becomes more important than your agenda. You choose to become less so He can become more. It's so easy to lay you down and to pick up God instead, especially in our early walk with the Lord. Gets a little bit challenging the more seasoned we become. It's here we need to realize that it's only with God's help in our lives that we are truly going to become the men or women of God that God intended. And so this moment in our walk, where we find ourselves in the place of being, this is really the place in our walk where we find ourselves in the place of being the proud owner of everything that can't be bought. I'm going to say that again. This is the moment in our walk where we find ourselves in the place of being the proud owner of everything that can't be bought. Can't buy love. Can't buy acceptance. Can't buy peace. All right? But it's available to us. It's here you are stepping away from you and submitting to God, His Word, and taking hold of His quiet strength to lift up others. Luke 6:28 tells us, invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Implore God's blessings, favor upon those who abuse you, who revile, reproach, misuse you. It's important that we bless our brothers and sisters in the Lord, especially when we see the favor of God upon them. Why? Because you and I have no idea what they had to go through to get that blessing. And we need to understand that when somebody is really in a good place, everything's going well, everything's going great, we need to bless them because we're going to be in that same place too. It might be done in a different way. It might be done in a different place. But God's blessings are for everyone. And so it's important that we bless one another. Meekness is not weakness. I think you all know that. Meekness is strength under control. A quality of gentle humility that acknowledges power but chooses restraint. It involves being mild, gentle, and considerate of others, and is rooted in a deep trust in God's authority and in God's timing. So many times we look at people and we're like, well, you know, they've been in the church, they should be here now in their spirit walk, or they should be here now in their spirit walk. God's timing isn't our timing. And he works with each and every one of us in a different way. Meekness is a choice. Yes, it's submission to God, rather than choosing to assess one's own rights and desires into a situation. We all know our faults. I know mine. And it's so easy to point out other people's faults. I have three words here in bold. Knock it off. We don't have time. There's someone in this place today who needs to hear blessings, not curses. There's someone here today who needs to be lifted up with words of encouragement and not condemnation. There's a brother or sister in the Lord who needs to feel compassion to have someone listen to them despite their faults and know that they will not be condemned, but rather lifted up, enabling them to rise. So what can return? Joy. Take the time to listen. And when you hear, obey and bless. And then bless again. And then bless again. And then bless again. Exodus 23:21 begins with, give heed to him, meaning God. Listen to and obey his voice. Obey his voice. Is this working for you so far? Yeah? Okay. I'm going to check in every now and then, you know. I got to make sure everybody's awake. Verse 6. Oh, the blessedness of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. As we humble ourselves, as we become less, as God becomes more, as we see more and more unrighteousness around us, and Lord knows we see enough of that today, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're hungering and thirsting for truth. And the phrase, those who hunger, indicates a constant and recurring satisfaction with God's righteousness. The nourishment received from being filled is applied in hungering anew, for a new filling, another filling, but a new one. And we should never be satisfied with what we ate or chewed on yesterday in the Word of God, because God always has more for us. We go from, at this point, when we're hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness, and when we're walking the walk of the Beatitudes, where we've stepped through four of these, we're moving along, we're going from reading the Word of God now to studying the Word of God. We are excited about the things of God. He's become essentially the food and the drink and a very good meal. But someone in the brethren is hungry. Someone in the brethren is thirsty. Holy Spirit knows what they need. But someone in the brethren is hungering and thirsting anew for another filling. And we should be seeking that for ourselves as well. Someone needs to be filled up with the promises of God. Someone needs to be filled up with the blessings from his word. Are you the one who can give it? It's one thing to encourage someone based on your own experiences, but it's a completely different step when we fill someone with the Word of God. When we speak His Word with authority into another's life, when we remind them of the blessings and of His love, why do we do it? So we can build them up and bring them back their joy. Yes, we're to hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is all a sign of maturity in the things of God. 1 John 2:5 says, but he who keeps treasures his word, who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his message in its entirety, truly in him has the love for and of God been perfected or completed, reaching maturity. But this is that we may perceive, know, and be sure that we are in him. We should always be maturing in the world. And what happens as we mature? Remember, we've gone from reading the word to studying the word. We're going deeper. We have to have the desire to go deeper. And this should be the desire for each and every one of us. Holy Spirit will bring back the joy. Now I'm going to combine verses 7 and 8. We have, oh, the blessedness of the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, and oh, the blessedness of the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, the blessedness of those who care. Because at the moment of being care-full, F-U-L-L, you will find yourselves cared for. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness showed towards someone whom it is within your power to punish or harm. I'm going to say that again. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within your power to punish or harm. Mercy is not just getting what we deserve. It's not giving someone else what we feel they deserve. Think about God and what we deserve. God's word says we are to love our enemies. God's word says we are to forgive. The merciful are characterized by a caring attitude for those who are in misery. Misery can conjure up a whole crew of emotions. It can cause anger to rise up, all right? Misery can cause frustration and anxiety to rise up. It can make a person miserable, and that person can be right here in our midst. But when we extend mercy where mercy is needed, or you no longer see that situation or that person or even that issue through your own eyes, then you're looking at that situation through, as Peggy said earlier, God's eyes. And you have the responsibility to respond. Mercy means being a friend to your enemies. And I know that's a hard nut to swallow. But mercy means also seeing your brothers and sisters in the body of Messiah as a friend, faults and all, and choosing to love them regardless. Choosing to surround them with love. Choosing to look past their faults and accepting them where they are. We're all familiar with Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Our fellow brothers and sisters are not our enemy. Yes, we might feel someone might need to be decked in their attitudes. That's just me. But then we have to ask ourselves, well, what's my attitude? And if God is willing to extend mercy to you, how much more should we extend that same mercy to those in the brethren? And yet, how many times have we taken sides, especially in the most recent years? Ouch. That's something to think about. There's a lot of division in the body of Messiah. We're not blind to that, but neither's God. And we still have the responsibility to pray for them and to guide them and to speak the word of God into the atmosphere around their lives. Because personally, I don't want the responsibility for taking someone off their path because of my judgments or my lack of mercy. And I don't think you do either. We need to be building each other up. We need to be walking the walk, but then we also need to be looking back and going, okay, who's over here? Oh, wait a minute, this one's down in the dumps. This one's falling. Okay, we have to go after our brothers and sisters. Let them know we care. Let them know they matter. We matter. And I know for me that was tough because I was the oldest girl and I had all the responsibility in the family. And so I would just go. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to do. So I was always, the blinders were up and I was just focused ahead on the tasks that needed to be done. Wasn't thinking about anybody else around me. Wasn't thinking about how it was affecting anybody else around me. Even when I started my initial walk in the Lord. But through time and willing to walk the walk, Holy Spirit has taught me a lot. You see, let us walk as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. When we allow God to get our inside world right, when we allow God to get our minds and hearts right, then we can see God in everything. We can see God, bop, 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 just what Peggy said earlier, in each other. I see God in each and every person in this place. And it's all good. The pure in heart. The pure in heart is a condition which can only be acquired through the continuous cleansing that believers experiencing when they have fulfilled the previous conditions of blessedness. Because the purer a person becomes, the more clearly he or she can see God. And the purer we become, the more we see God in each other. And we must choose every day to permit God's process, not our process, to operate in our lives. And as we let God move in, the more word comes out, and as a result, we are purified more and more each day. We all know God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are higher, and so too are his thoughts. And we need to get into his thoughts. We need to be seeking him on a daily basis. Lord, what's on your heart for me? Or what's on your heart for someone you may be praying for? It's God's day. But a lot of times, we make it our day. Now let me tell you, I can fill up my day without any problem. And then the next thing you know, I get to the end of the day and I haven't taken any time with the Lord. And you feel it because you will eventually come out of rhythm with the Spirit when we allow the things of the world to take more precedent than the things of God. It's a daily work. We all know this. I'm talking to the choir here. And it takes time. We must remember that when we look at our brothers and sisters in the Lord, God's goal is always to keep us moving forward. When I hit a trail, now that I can, yes, I can get on trails and I can walk and I can get around and I can get about and I'm doing things that I haven't been able to do in almost 7 years. But when I set myself on a trail, I know where it begins and I know where it ends. And so I am going in that direction. The Beatitudes are the same way. God has purpose in giving us a path to follow. God has purpose in the work that he has for us to do. God has purpose in how we are supposed to go about that work. But more importantly, God has purpose for what we are called to in order to be with our brothers and sisters in the Lord and fulfill his plan and purpose for the kingdom in this time and in this hour. Someone may need your help moving forward. And we need to make it our goal today to help each other out as much as we can, whenever we can. Why? So we can bring ourselves back to joy. I'm going to end with verse 9 because of the time. Oh, the blessedness of the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God. As peacemakers, we should show each other how to cooperate instead of competing and fighting. We know that. Peace comes in the form of knowledge, not ignorance, and positivity, not negativity. Isaiah 26:3 is a verse I quote often. You will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because I trust in you, God. There was a saying I remember when I was growing up, when I was in my teenage years. It was during the Vietnam War. There's a whole lot going on. There's a lot of protesting going on. And all you saw was big signs that said, make peace, not war. Make peace, not war. My brothers carried, make peace, not war. But it's especially crucial in the body of believers. We got enough to contend with. We don't need to be contending with each other, too. James 3:17-18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Peace to those who make peace. We can so easily change the atmosphere when we embrace the positive. We can lift someone up when we release positive attributes, even when they may not apply at that time, because God loves them. And I can give you a perfect example of that. I'm in high school. I see certain students walk by me. I know the situations they're in, and they don't know it, but I'm pouring positivity into them through the Word of God, in my thoughts, in my words, whatever it is. But I'm covering them with the Word of God. Why? Because God loves them just as much as He loves me. Speak life. We need to speak life to each other. There is a time for correction, and there is an even greater need, but there is an even greater need to build each other up daily. Whatever builds up, it's our responsibility to help release it. And the Lord knows there's some things we need to release and give to God, knowing that if there's fiery darts, we're going to shoot them down. If there's negative words, replace them with positive. If somebody speaks something out like, oh no, I don't think you're going to be able to do that. Sorry, I'm canceling those words because according to God's word, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You've got to be listening to what people are speaking to you. Because a lot of times, it may sound good, but it's not God. And it's intended to take you off the path. And if I see it and if I hear it, I'm going after it. Why? Because your spiritual condition is so important to me that I will stand in the gap on your behalf until you realize, oh, wait a minute, that was a curse that was just spoken over me, or that was negative words that were just spoken over me. We are not to take in negativity at all. Block it. Cancel it. Renounce it. Take it out of your lives. It's important we ask ourselves, what voice are we listening to today? What voice are we listening to? Many are listening to the wrong voice. Just because something is laced with Scripture does not mean it's of God. We need to be testing everything in this season. And it's all part of our maturity walk as we walk through the Beatitudes. Because we're eventually going to come up against persecution. We're going to come up against all of that. We already do already. You see, Charlie Kirk wasn't blind to what he was facing. He listened and he responded to the questions. He saw their anger and their frustration, and yet he did not waver. He did not step off the path that God had ordained for him to walk. He operated on a daily basis, for Pete's sake, with a death threat over his head. But it did not stop him from fulfilling what he felt he was supposed to be doing in the name of God. Gee, Yeshua had the same problem. As a result, Charlie Kirk turned the hearts of many, especially the youth and the young youth, to the things of God. The enemy wants to steal our joy. It's crucial we immerse ourselves in the Word. It's crucial that we pray. We should be scrolling through the Bible more than we're scrolling through social media on our phones. We should be scrolling through the Bible more than watching TV, and I'm putting myself in this boat, folks. Especially when you're on a TV for hours on end, there's a way you can just binge and binge and binge if you want nowadays. The news is not the answer, we know that. But it's important to be informed, don't get me wrong. But don't let it drown you in negativity and despair. And the other thing is, that if I can encourage you today, is watch your expectations. When you pray, are you praying your expectations or are you praying the Word of God? Many were disappointed, as we all know, about the outcome of the 2020 election. I wasn't. I stayed quiet. Because I just felt at that time that we were not where we needed to be in order to have President Trump come back in to the presidency. God had work to do for me. That's how I felt. God knew we needed the 4 years of Biden to bring us back around. And I realize that this is my opinion, but I think we can all agree that God accomplished a lot in the body of believers in those 4 years. Woke us up, got us moving, got us operating, got us praying, got us doing a lot of things. And with the most recent election, with the governor of New Jersey, that's another one where it's a challenge. But God knows what is needed in this season. God knows what is needed as you continue to walk your walk. Guard your mind. Fill it with what God says about you and your fellow believers. And show your joy. Rise up. Meet the challenges, knowing you have a God who's behind you. Never mind a whole army of heavenly angels. Bless your enemies. Bless, bless, and bless again. Take the higher road. Take the higher path and walk away when you know something isn't going to be resolved no matter what you say. Show maturity. Because God is the one who can fix anything. Always speak the truth. Even when it's not welcome, especially to the brethren. Don't hold back. Recognize the season and recognize that it's God's plan, not yours. And no matter how much you may feel this needs to go that way or this needs to go this way, God knows the plans. So we need to back off and let God be God. Strengthen the brethren whenever you're feeling led to do so and be willing to be open to others. God will speak through them and you can speak through God, but you got to be listening first. When Peggy said, does anybody have the NLT? I thought she said Psalm 119. She said Psalm 19. But I opened it up to the NLT in Psalm 119, and it says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions, Lord, would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. And that's the first 8 verses of 119, 1 through 8. Make it your daily goal in each and every one of us, with each and every one of us, to bring back the joy. I hope you've learned something today. I thank you for your time. Blessings upon you and the love of God within you. Amen and amen.